Just want to welcome you. We're going to do things a little different. Of course, it's different every week, so what does different mean? But we're going to have Tana. God's given her something for the children this morning, and she's going to bring that in a minute, and then we're going to have some worship, and at some point, the kids will go out. And are the ministry badges out? Let's get our ministers badged up. For your safety, we have been making sure that we train our prayer ministers here. So if someone is wearing a badge and you want prayer, you can go to someone in a badge and know, rest assured, that they have been trained. And we work in partners, so we don't pray one over one person, but in partners so that you have a witness and they have a witness. And our ministers, our prayer ministers, have been trained in laying their life down and listening to the Holy Spirit for you. And we want you to be safe. So you might be a prayer minister if you're visiting here, but to keep everyone knowing that they're safe and covered, please don't pray over people here, you know, if you're not badged. If you feel you have a word for someone, it's something that you need to say or pray, please come and see someone who is badged and let us take that before the Lord, because we don't want to stop the Lord either. We want to give God full freedom, but we don't want to give freedom to the enemy. We've been to churches where strangers just go and pray over each other and you have no idea who they are, you know, if they're from God or from the enemy. So we just want it to be a safe place, but we don't want to stifle the Lord. So if you really feel God has given you something, please come and see us and let us bring it before the Lord, and perhaps He would have you be released in it. Sometimes a stranger can walk in the door. Holy Spirit will say, badge that person. And we do it, and then we stand with them to make sure that they're safe. So we're letting the Spirit lead in even who we put the badges on each week. And we just hope you're comfortable with that. We don't want to be controlling. We want to be safe. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll get the badges passed out. We just welcome you this morning, Lord, and we do want to lay our life down. Lord, we want to worship you, and we can't worship you unless you invite us, unless you pull on our heart, unless you come and manifest yourself. So, Lord, we want to begin with thankfulness and just thank you for who you are and how you love us and your mercies being new every morning. God, there is nothing too big or too hard for you. So we just want to lay down every care, every worry, every problem, confess every sin, ask you to search us right now so that we are here prepared, waiting for you. Lord, we want you to fill this place with your presence. This is your house. Come and do whatever you want to do. We give you total freedom. We just love you, Lord. Open our hearts. Open our spirits to see you, to hear you, to walk with you this morning. We love you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, who made it all possible. Amen. Tana.
If you're a kid, make sure you can see the board real well. If you can't, just come up and sit up a little closer. You know what? I think God's favorite color is green. I mean, he probably likes all the colors, but I think it's green. You know why? Two reasons. One is that in the book of Revelation, it says that God's throne is surrounded by an emerald rainbow. Emerald is green, right? So, and if you look around you, what do you see most of? Green. So today, we're going to have God's spirit be green. And you know, in the can you see that green very well? I don't know, it's kind of
like,
I don't know, I think God's probably more neon, but we'll just go with it. Okay, it says that we're created like God, we're in his image. So, this is going to represent God, and a lot of people have a misunderstanding of what God is like, so I hope you're going to understand more about what he's like after I get done talking. When he created Adam and Eve, you know why he did? Oh, let's do that a little differently. Because he wanted... to be with them. He said, I want to love somebody. And he created them. And they were very happy. And God was happy. And they hung out together. See, they held hands. Every day they played together. Around dinner time or so in the evening. And they were very happy, and there was a part of them where God was inside of them. He was inside of them, and he made them feel complete and happy and right. And that's the way he made them. With that part of them needed him right there inside of them. Well, I don't know if you've heard this story. Most of you probably have. Well, this doesn't want to work with my eraser, does it? Yeah, I guess I need a paper towel. That's to erase the picture because I'm going to draw another picture.
Oh, another picture? Yeah. I already heard that story.
Oh, well, you get to hear it again. I have too. What do you know?
Well,
I learn new stuff every time I read the Bible. Did you know that? Well, maybe not every time, but many times.
Wow.
I learn something
That's
new.
Cool.
Going to be my eraser person.
Okay.
Well.
All over the Bible.
Well, you know, you can probably guess what that is. That's a blueberry tree. No.
That's funny.
Adam and Eve are happy. God only gave them one rule. Do you have any rules you have to obey?
Yes. One rule is I need to take up my toys and read the Bible first before I do every page of schoolwork.
Mm-hmm.
And I do them really good.
You know why we have rules? Because we might not do those things. We might do something differently. If we don't have the rule. So we get the rule so we'll know what to do right. Adam and Eve did everything right. All the time. Except there was one thing
that God wanted them to make sure they didn't do, that they might do if they didn't have this rule. So they had the rule. And it was, don't eat from this one tree. Now, was God being mean? No. He wasn't being mean. There were tons of other trees they could eat from. Just don't eat from the one. But, of course, the snake came and he lied to them. He tricked Eve and got her to eat the fruit. See, God had told them, if you eat this fruit, you're going to die inside. You're just going to die. Yeah, I just keep trying to do that, don't I? You're going to die inside. You're going to die. They didn't even know what die meant. But it was bad, and they didn't even know what bad meant. But they did. They ate that fruit. They believed that snake, who was bad, instead of believing God, who was good and who loved them. This goes much faster with an eraser, by the way. So here you are. We're going to have God here again. There's God. He's still happy. But here are Adam and Eve. And they are not happy anymore. They don't have God inside of them anymore. They don't have God inside of them anymore. They have sin inside of them. And you know what that sin will do? That sin will come and make their bodies die one day. But their spirits died. And here's God, and he comes to them around dinner time every day. And he says, Adam, Eve, let's play. Let's hang out. I want to be with you. But Adam and Eve, they are scared. They're hiding behind a tree or behind a bush. Because they know that if they go in front of God, with that sin in them, they will be burned up, consumed. No more. Their bodies will also be dead. And so they hide from God. And God says, did you eat the fruit? They say, oh yeah, but he made me do it. Oh yeah, well the snake made me do it. She made me do it. Snake made me do it. And the snake. And they got in trouble for it, you know. But God, I mean, they had to get kicked out of their house. They couldn't see God anymore. God didn't want them to die right away like that. He wanted them to be sorry for it. And he wanted more people. So Adam and Eve still had to have children. And their children had to have children. He didn't want man to just to be destroyed. They didn't have any way of coming back to him yet. So he didn't want them to see him. So he made him leave the garden, and now God couldn't talk to them. If he came and talked to them, they couldn't hear him, and they couldn't see him anymore. Their eyes were blinded. They couldn't hear him. They couldn't see him. They didn't know that God loved them, but that snake, you know, Satan, he was around still.
He's always unhappy and angry.
Except when we disobey God.
Well, that makes him, I guess, a little happy, but makes him feel better, but he's always unhappy because he doesn't have God. So God couldn't talk to us. He couldn't tell us how much he loved us. He couldn't do that anymore. And not only that, all the people would be dying now. So what does God do? You see, God's still happy. See, if God came over, I just want you to really understand this. If God came down to try and talk to us, boom, we'd be blown up. We'd be consumed. Because God is a consuming fire. And his sin, any sin, burns up before him because he's holy and he's good. And he doesn't want that to happen to us. But you see, many people, they think, well,
why is there all the evil in the world and why doesn't God fix it if he's so powerful?
Well, he is powerful, but if he comes down, he burns it up. So God has to work in the rules that he set up. And you know what one of the rules was? Is that man and woman were going to rule on this earth. And he's not taking that away from them. He's not taking it away from them. Even if they sin, he's not going to take it away from them. He wants them to rule on the earth. Well, if they have sin, you think they're going to be good rulers?
No.
What kind of rulers do you think they'll be?
Bad rulers.
Very wicked. So do you see bad things happen in the world?
Yes.
You see wicked things happen?
Like man.
That is not God's fault. That is because we chose to sin. So, what will God do about this? Remember, he can't cross that barrier because then we would die. So, here's all the people. I mean, millions and millions and millions of people.
Wow.
Oh, they've got such good hairstyles. I mean, it's right in the eye, you know, right there. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. I'm just thinking about hair. All right, yeah. And I gotta figure out a faster way to draw this guy here. Here they all are. Sin all inside of them. God wants to come over. He can't. He doesn't want them to be consumed. So what does he do? Well, he does break through that barrier. And how does he come? He comes. He comes as a little baby. There he is. And he grows up. And he's different. Now, he's the same. How is he the same? Well, he's a person. He's got flesh and blood. He's got bones and he's got hair. And he stinks when he sweats. And he still has to eat. He still has to sleep.
He still has to learn. But he doesn't have that sin inside of him because Jesus, his name was Jesus, of course, and God's Spirit can come in there. His Spirit is not dead. His Spirit is not dead like everybody else's. So he can hear God, and he won't be consumed, and he won't die. That's right, and he never does anything wrong. So when he'll just keep living and living and living and living. But why did he come? Because he wanted to let the people know what God was like. What is God really like? Are you really sorry that you did what you did, that you have sin? Are you sorry? Do you really want to be God's friend again? Because God wants to be your friend. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear you. He wants to hang out with you, and he wants to be in your life all the time, every day.
That's right.
And I sometimes talk to him.
Well,
when I'm at home.
I think that's awesome, Carson. I think that God is very pleased. He wants you to talk to him. That is why he came. Now, do you think it's a big deal that God would put himself into a body? I think it's a big deal. I'm sorry, it's longer than 10 minutes.
Go ahead.
Whatever. I think it's a big deal that God would put himself in a body. Because God's pretty awesome. Can you go anywhere you want to? Like, can you go to the moon right now? No. You have to stay here on Earth, don't you?
Yep.
And you can't go off into outer space and come back. And you can't go into heaven unless God calls you there and come back. And you can't just see everything and know everything. And you know, Jesus couldn't either. He limited himself. He put himself in this little body. I mean, compared to God, it's a pretty little body. And he came down. So, why did he come? Well, a lot of you know, but I want you to think about it a little bit differently.
Very different.
This is a history lesson for today, boy. Yeah, that's the cross.
Well, of course, he came down. And he let the people put him on the cross. And here he was. He still had God. And he was very sad. Thank you, sweetheart. Because the people said, "We don't love you. We don't want you to be our boss, our king, our God. We want ourselves." And God knew, well, that's not really going to work. You're just going to die. You're not going to live forever like I planned for you to. You're going to be burned up because when you die, your spirit's going to come and you're just going to be consumed. Blown up. But God knew everything that was going on. And you see this? All this sin? That sin, God was in heaven and he was saying, "I want all that sin in the world, all that sin in the world to be put on my son. All of it. All of your sins. So all the people that have ever lived, all of them, from before Jesus was born till now, even your sin and my sin, all got put on him." And Jesus said, "I'll take that sin. I'll take it all on me. I want you to put it on me, Jesus. But on me, Father," Jesus said, "put that sin on me. Even if they don't want it put on me," they don't know what's happening, of course, but some people, they won't believe Jesus. And there was that sin all on Jesus. Was he consumed? No, he let himself die. But he was not consumed. Because he had never sinned. But he took the punishment for everybody else's.
So now, we have a choice. We have a choice now. We don't have to be all burned up when we die. And we can have God inside of us now. But the choice is ours. What kind of choice are we going to make? Are we going to tell Jesus, we are sorry? Oh. Right, I did. We are so sorry that you had to die and take our sins on you. And we do want you to be our Lord. And we do want to have a relationship with you and a friendship. We want you inside of us. We don't want this sin anymore and us being the boss all the time. We want you, Jesus. We want to get rid of our sin and we want to live your way. Or you can keep your sin. God's not going to make you. He's not going to make you let him be your God. You can keep it. Are you going to live for him? Or are you going to live for yourself? Because, you know, we might think that this sin's going to make us happy. But guess what? It doesn't. You see, that snake was a liar from the beginning, and he's still a liar, and his name is Satan. And he will lie to you, and he will say, "Ooh, that sin, that'll make you happy. Don't follow God. Do things your own way. Follow God. Follow yourself. You know what's best." Don't let somebody tell you what to do, how to live your life, take away your freedom. But that's really a big old lie. He's always been a liar. And he's still a liar, and he talks to us in our minds, in our thoughts, because that's the way the spiritual world works. Very, very seldom will you hear God thundering his voice from heaven. He doesn't do that anymore since sin is in the world most of the time. Now, when we are with him, yeah, we'll probably just talk to him. And we'll be able to make sure we'll be able to understand his voice so much more clearly. But now we hear thoughts in our minds, and we have to realize and choose, is that from God or is that from the enemy? Is that from this evil thing that wants me to die and burn up? So we get to choose. God will not make us choose him because he didn't make a robot. So, he didn't make a robot where he could just tell us what to do and we'd automatically do it all the time. He made us like himself and we get to choose. Yep. Who is going to be our friend and who is going to be our God? And what are we going to do with the few years, maybe 70 or 80, maybe 90 or 100, compared to eternity? That's not a long time. Are we going to choose God and get a new body? Or are we going to choose sin, stay blinded, not be able to see the way that God sees? You know, we still have lots of choices to make, even once we've chosen God. He can open our eyes
more and more and more and more and more and more to see the way things really are. As we get to know him more and more and more and more and more and more.
Does it make the green spot get bigger?
It makes the green spot get bigger.
Bigger
and bigger and bigger and bigger. To where people can tell there's something different about this person. That person's, they won't maybe know this, but that person is like Jesus. There's love. And I don't feel love coming from this person. All I feel is hate and selfishness and pride. But this person thinks of somebody other than themselves. That's very different. I think I like that. I want that. Because inside, they really know that this is not making them feel good. It's making them feel rotten and rotting inside and gross. And they really, inside of them, is longing to have God in them. But they don't. They're all messed up. And the only way, the more and more and more we get to know God, the bigger and bigger God grows inside, and the more God will get to the other people. And how does that happen? When we read God's Word, when we talk to Him and listen to Him, when we hang out with Him, when we're friends with Him, when we listen to His voice.
I pick that one.
I pick Jesus. Go ahead, you pick.
Which one are you picking?
The one with the green.
That guy?
Which one? That's one I'm picking, too. How about you?
Yeah.
Show me. Go show me. Which one are you picking? Which one are you picking? That's one I'm... Yep. That's not me. Yep. Me too. Me too.
So we have choices every day. Who are we going to choose? Are we going to choose God who loves us? Or are we going to choose the enemy?
No.
When we choose God, it means we don't choose ourselves, and that's hard. That is hard not to choose ourselves, because we still are struggling with the lies that Satan has told us.
That's right.
We're still struggling with those lies, and we still believe some of those lies, and we have to choose not to believe them, and that's hard. Choose to believe God instead of choosing to believe what we see and what others have told us and what we think we know. We don't know those things, because what we do know is true, is in God's Word. And you can trust that with your life. Even if you think it's not true and it doesn't look true, it is true. That's the Bible, message of the Bible in a nutshell. If you haven't heard the Bible before, there you go. Read it, find it in there. It's there.
I believe this is a nutshell version of what the Lord would have me say right now. Any questions? God does not care how old you are, what clothes you're wearing, how much education you have, what specifically He has brought you to this earth to be or to do. But know this, He loves you much more than you could ever imagine loving anyone. And He has brought you to this place for His purpose today.
Amen.
September 12, 2010, by the calendar we currently use.
Amen.
I believe someone's prepared to musically lead us into God's presence today. That's one of the things that I believe the Lord also wanted said. It didn't matter really who said it, but I could call you out by name. I know some of you are called to more expansive music ministry or preaching ministry or evangelism, many other things the Lord has called people to do. I mention those only because they come to mind easily, but there are just as many callings in this room as there are human beings in this room. We sometimes think of calling as, well, it has to fit into pastor, teacher, apostle, evangelist. What was the other one? Prophet, yeah. Or when it, one of these other things that the church tends to glorify, but the reality is he loves each one of us individually, specifically, completely, and forever. He'd like us to do the same for each other. I think that all of us need to feel free as the Lord moves on us to come forward with a testimony. What did God do in my life this past week or just recently, or what is it that he would like me to tell? Because the scripture says they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The other thing, some of us who grew up in the church, and I'm one of those, sometimes believe is that we're called to minister to just about everyone else in our life. I work with someone who is a self-described fence sitter. He's 70 years old, but he's taught me about myself. He's taught me about God. It goes both ways. I'm no different than him, but I grew up a Pharisee among Pharisees. I used to think, well, I'm just like God's anointed to go preach the gospel or something. The reality is we are all born into the same sin. We all need the same Savior. Under God, there is no difference between us. And I feel like we need to invite each other, invite anyone on whom God is moving to feel free to participate fully when we come together to worship God together. Don't be hesitant. This should be a safe place. If you've been hurt and wounded by church people, I can understand being very hesitant to do anything. I've seen people in church hurt people that they thought were rank unbelievers. I have been among them. I was in the army. A young woman who I was trying to witness to told me, if this is your God, I don't want any part of him. And it took decades for me to realize how right on the money she was. I wasn't witnessing except my own human pride, my selfishness, and my Pharisaical upbringing. I trust God is making it clear to you that this is becoming a safe place. It is the place where he desires to dwell. It is where we can come together and corporately laud him for the sovereign of the universe that he is. And make this a prelude to the endless worship we're going to have in eternity. Be willing to lay aside everything you thought you knew and let God lead. But then when he leads, follow. Get up and do it. Well, I'm up here. I didn't really know what I was going to say, but I've gotten up and done it, and now it's somebody else's turn.
Yesterday was September 11th. If anybody knew what happened 9 years ago, we were attacked by the enemy of God, which is Islam. And all false religions are the enemy of God because they teach heresy.
Right.
Islam teaches that men are superior. They have a right to abuse their women and so forth. And like I said, that we lost 3,000 people that day. And God wanted me to say, sometimes I feel like saying things about America. You know, America and Israel coincides together. I can't hold this in my hand. Where's the ketchup at? But, like I said, America and Israel are parallel. God started Israel a long thousand years ago. He brought America into existence for one purpose, to be missionaries. And we've sent thousands of people out through the last, 200 some years to the world to witness for His love and for His understanding and throughout the country. 2 weeks ago, I don't remember where I was at with my dog, but we were out and I was thinking about the evil that was going on in this country. And it grieved me. And I know sin grieves the Lord Almighty, too. But there was something, that, like I said, I was grieved and I was hurting, and He put something in my head. I don't know the full song. I can't even think of the song, but it was, God. I think it was God Bless America. God Bless America. No, it's not that one. Yeah. Something about America the Beautiful, that it's just skies. And I mean, like I said, I was just humming or singing the first couple of verses that I could remember. But when Sue had people putting the badges on, the Lord put another thought in my head. I'd like some of you prayer people, and God, America needs it bad. I'd like some of you prayer people to pray for America. I've been talking to God a lot myself for America. But if somebody would like to pray for America, it would be very nice. Because America needs, or we're losing it. We're going to lose this country. Christians have got to wake up. We got to wake up and start carrying the truth back out there. Because it says in Scripture that they that hold the truth in unrighteousness. And I keep trying to think, how can you hold the truth in unrighteousness? But anything that's not Christ and Him is false.
Right.
This is all I got to say. So if anybody wants to pray for our great country.
Father God, we give you praise and honor and glory.
Amen.
We thank you. You are indeed an awesome God.
Yes.
We love you. We thank you that you love this nation. You said in your word, if my people, in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Forgive the sins and heal the land. And so, Father, we bring our nation before you.
Yes.
And ask that you have mercy on us. That you grant peace to our borders. That you will confuse the works of terrorism. Stand against this nation. That you forgive us for giving away the land of Israel. Father, have mercy on us. Please don't give us what we deserve. But extend your grace and your mercy to us, to our nation. Grant wisdom to the leaders of our nation. Divine wisdom to our governors and mayors, our senators and judges. How about they need to hear from you? In whichever way you desire to speak to them, dreams, visions, whatever, we ask that you would do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
My Father, I pray that you would get the church ready, yes, close to you, yes, hearing your voice, yes, confessing their sins, yes, and that you would reveal our sins, Father, yes, so that we can get rid of them and prepare us. And I ask, God, that you would send revival on this land. Yes. Amen. That you would bring repentance to people, that they would be sorry for their sins. Amen. But that you would give them a place to go that would take care of them as newborn babes, Lord. Yes. That you would prepare a church. That you would prepare a church that could mother them and father them and nurture them in your ways. Because you're not going to birth a revival without something, someone to take care of those people, God. Oh, Father, I ask that you would bring revival on this land. I ask that the church would be prepared and that we would be focused on you, God, and that you would heal our families, God. Because you said you put the lonely in families. So you need to make strong families in the church, God. And I ask, God, that you would make us willing to be changed, willing to be unselfish and to serve each other. And that you would grow us in character, God, and godliness and wisdom. That we would speak to each other the way we want to be spoken to and treat each other the way we want to be treated, and that there would be a place for the hundreds and the thousands that you want to bring into your kingdom. That there would be a place in our homes. There would be a place in our hearts, God. You would open our hearts and break our hearts. Break our hearts for the people that don't know you and that are hurting. Pshaw. And until this happens, God, I ask you, give us time. Because I know that the time is short, God. But in your mercy, I ask for time. That you would provide the time that this work takes. That you would protect our borders. God, we deserve punishment in this land. And we deserve evil rulers and all of that, Lord. We see it happening, but I ask, God, for mercy. I ask that you would turn the tide. I ask that you would put godly rulers over us instead of wicked rulers, God, that would turn us, open us up to attacks from the enemy, from your enemy, God, from the evil one. God, I ask that it would not happen, that you would be glorified instead. And that your great work of this country and how you established a place where people could have freedom to serve you and love you, that this place would be preserved, God. Yes. And that the people's hearts in this land will be changed and that the evil influences will be snuffed out. I ask that you would bind them, Lord.
There are leaders who hear are called to pray for Israel and stand in the gap for Israel. Can you come forward and we can pray for you? anyone that's called to lead, be a leader in Israel, or pray for Israel. Father, we thank you and give you praise. We ask for the anointing of your Holy Spirit, our Lord, and Pastor Harvey, and the woman here who's called to stand in the gap to Israel. I will wake them up and use them mightily for your kingdom, your glory, and your honor. We give thanks, Lord, however you want to use them. We thank you. We bless your name. Thank you, Lord.
Father, 9 years ago you woke, got our attention. 9 years ago, people flocked to buildings. They flocked to hear from you, to see why this happened. Millions of people flocked. But they were flocking because they were scared. Some of them might have been true seekers, Father. Touch the hearts of the ones that really did hear. Touch the hearts of the ones that will make a difference. We all need to make a difference for you, Father, in this country of ours. But again, it's been an ask, and I'm going to repeat this. Just raise up. Allow us to be strong. Allow the American people to see that this country is founded on your word. It wasn't founded on Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, but it was founded on your scriptures. Genesis through Revelation. You, like I said, you started us a long time ago to be a witness to the nations. Israel fell away. You brought them back. Don't let America stumble too much more, Father. America needs you so bad. The only help we have is in you. The enemy, like it was taught this morning, the enemy is a liar. The enemy is a sneak, a cheat, but you are the only truth in this country, Father. I myself am weak. I don't read your word like I should. I don't stand like I should. If people in here was honest, most of them would say the same thing. Just give us the strength and the courage to stand, to proclaim your truth. And I ask this in the blessed name of Jesus.
Lord, as I was listening to Lloyd pray, what came upon me is to stir up your prophets. Right now, you know who they are. They might even know who they are. And I ask in the holy name of Jesus that you stir them up. You prepare them and you get them ready to preach to this nation, to preach salvation, to preach your word, to preach Jesus to these people. Just stir them up, Lord, whoever they are. Prepare them, prepare them. Prepare them.
Lord, we're asking, we want to have your heart. And Lord, we don't always have your heart. And Lord, we're asking you to break our heart for what breaks yours and bring us into oneness with you. And that, Lord, we would do what the Scripture says and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That we would pray for Israel, because what happens to Israel happens to the world. What we do to them affects the world, and it affects this country, I mean, immediately. And Lord, there's so many judgments coming upon us because of the way we treat Israel. We're asking that you would grant us repentance, that, Lord, we would admit the truth, quit making excuses or blame shifting or pointing at somebody else, but that, Lord, you would break our hearts for what breaks yours. And that, Lord, we would be willing to lay down our lives and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the salvation of Israel. Lord, when we were just over there, it was... You just were breaking my heart for all these people that know about you and don't have a clue who you are. And Lord, I'm just asking that you would do whatever it takes to bring them to the end of themselves and the foot of the cross, that you would just overwhelm them with your love, your mercy, your goodness. Your obvious favor was upon them. It was an amazing thing to be there seeing all that. But Lord, I'm just asking you to bring them to a place of knowing you. And Lord, that home church movement we saw get birth when we were there, we're just asking that you would guide those leaders, that you would give them strength, that you would encompass them with people that would be like-minded, like-hungered, like-hearted, like-spirited. And Lord, that you would form groups in churches, safe places, that Lord would present you, would love you in spirit and in truth, not in compromise, but in spirit and in truth, and lift you up as you really are. And that, Lord, as you would empower them and you would give them your heart, that others would be drawn to them, as I was watching that happen even while we were there. And that, Lord, you would bring in this whole nation unto knowing you. Bring them back. They could truly be called your people. And, Lord, that you would break our hearts, that we would pray for that, not just out of sight, out of mind, but Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to become... the one that just continually brings it to our mind, yes, that we would pray as you would have. And when it comes to our mind, that we would pray and lift them up. And that, Lord, you would break the hearts of our leaders and the wills of our leaders in this country. It says if we would pray for our leaders, we would lead a quiet and peaceable life. And, Lord, I want to confess, I have not done that. Not the way that you've shown me that I need to do that. And, Lord, we're asking you, you know, that you would work in the leaders of our land, that you would bring them to the end of themselves and the foot of the cross, that you would break their heart, that you would show them their wills outside of you. And that, Lord, you would just have mercy, mercy on them, mercy on us, but that we would pray. You didn't say if the wicked leaders would turn, then you'd heal our land. You said if my people, the ones that name your name, you know, the Christians, the Christ-like believers, Lord, if my people, you said, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, not point at some Muslim president and talk about him turning from his wicked ways, but point back at ourselves and turn from our wicked ways. Lord, show us our sin. And grant us repentance, that we would see it from your perspective. No excuses. No blame shifting. And that, Lord, we would own our sin and we would bring it to the foot of the cross and say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me, but I'm sorry I caused you all that pain. I'm sorry I caused that scourging, that crown of thorns, and I'm sorry that I caused your blood to be spilled in my behalf. But I want to thank you. And I want to embrace what you did. I want you to be my Savior. And I just am thankful that you are. And I'm thankful that your blood covers my sin and cleanses from all. But Lord, we just need you to do that more and grant us deeper repentance. Bring us into oneness with you. We would see ourselves in light of your word. We would admit the truth. And Lord, because when we bring it to you, you said it's forgiven. When we bring it under your blood, it's under, it's gone. And it's washed away, and then you cleanse us, and you begin to just pour your blood inside of us and cleanse that area and start bringing us into oneness with you. Lord, may you draw us as only you can. And Lord, we're just admitting, here's where we are. We're getting what we deserve. We've got wicked rulers, and we've got all kinds of things going on in this country that's against you and against us and against our children and against our families and against our marriages. And Lord, we're asking you to forgive us because we brought this upon ourselves. Please have mercy. Please lead us to pray, not just get stirred up all emotional and go, yes, yes, and then walk out of here and have divine, have forgetfulness, but that, Lord, we would remember it and we would humble ourselves and seek your face. And just continually seek your face. because you are our answer, Jesus. We don't have an answer outside of you. It's not who we put in the White House. It's about your house. It's about you. It's about being with you. And we just ask that you would do this. We're asking you, Jesus, because if you don't do it, it doesn't get done. Just help us to realize we need to depend on you. Thank you for bringing people here that understand that. Stir more of our hearts. We'd be willing to stand up, have backbone to stand up for truth, not in an offensive way, but in a way of, I'm going to stand for what's right, I'm going to speak what's right, I'm going to vote what's right, in love. And we just say thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you draw us. Thank you that you've made promise that when we do come and do this, you've promised to forgive us, to heal our land. You've promised that you're going to listen. And we just say thank you. Thank you for being so merciful and so kind. Thank you, Jesus. He's calling you for your country. He's calling you. I just believe God's saying, come pray for your country.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Just get up and come pray for your country. I need you, God. America is going to hell without you. I don't know if you can see it, but it's like in a toilet. It's in a swirl. That's exactly what it's like. And he's bidding you come. If my people will come, humble themselves, pray, seek my face. That's just what I feel like he's saying. I'm trying to be quiet, and he just keeps saying, get up and say it. It's easy to sit there. It's easy to say, okay. But he wants us to come. This is our country. Just listen to this verse. If my people, which are called by my name, are you called by his name? Are you identified with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you a Christian? If my people, which are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. God, search me. God, have mercy. God, I haven't prayed for my leaders. God, I haven't prayed for my country. I've been caught up in my own life. If my people will do this, he says, now do you believe God or not? He says, then I will hear from heaven. I will hear from heaven. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be moved by the sound of your voice. Then will I hear from heaven. I'm going to forgive their sin because we're bringing it under the blood of Jesus. And he says, and then I'm going to heal their land. How's he going to do it? I don't know. He's God. He can figure that out. But he's made a promise. Do you believe him? Our job. To seek his face. To pray. To humble ourselves. To turn. From our wicked ways. This is what's in my life. I don't want it. This is the bend of my heart. I don't want it. This has been my choices. This has been my practice. I don't want it. I want you. I only want the green spot living in me. No more black spot. I'm tired of that big black spot. I only want the green spot living in me. Jesus, you are my hope. Thank you. I am humbling myself. This is my country. The home of the free, the home of the brave. Is that what we are? Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain. Pray for Israel. Pray for America. Repent. Beg him for mercy. We take it so for granted. We take the blood of Jesus for granted. Jesus got what we deserve. We need mercy. Please don't give us what we deserve. Please don't give us what we deserve. Please have mercy. Please have mercy on our country. Please have mercy on me, a wretched sinner. Thank you, Jesus. You are so precious. I need you, Jesus.
I believe God gave me just a simple thought concept of praying for our country. That whenever throughout our day, whenever we see or hear of an injustice or something that would, you know, make us upset about the way things are going, instead of complaining or wishing things weren't the way that they are, just bringing it before God and praying. And just offering it to him and asking for mercy.
If my people who are called by my name, should humble themselves and pray, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sins, and I will heal their land, and I will hear my their land. It's if my people, which are called by my name. Oh, Jesus, yes, Jesus, yes, Jesus. We do come, Lord. We are seeking your face, Lord. Yes, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for our wickedness, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for allowing the enemy to come in our camp.
Yes. Yes.
No more. We're not going to take any more. Amen. He's pushed us too far.
Amen.
It's time to push back.
Amen.
Oh, this is your time, Lord.
Yes.
This is your time. This is a generation of people that will awaken to Amen. Your call.
Amen.
Oh, my Lord, have mercy on us.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Oh, my God. Without you, it's all lost. It's all lost. But you haven't forsaken us. You have never left us. No matter what we've done, no matter what we say, no matter what we do, you still see us as the lover of your heart. You just want us to love you back and seek you. So long we're coming and seeking you for this nation. Not just this nation, but Israel, Lord. Your chosen people, Lord. Oh, for it's time for the Gentiles to stand and bring the word to the Israelites. Use us, Lord. But just not for our nation, not just for Israel, Lord, but for the whole world, Lord, because you demanded us to pray for our enemies. Not to just think of them as enemies, but bound people. Lost souls that need you as well as we do, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. So we lift all the world up to you, Lord. And here we are, Lord. Here we are, Lord. You have a plan, Lord. And Lord, we are part of that plan because we choose you, Lord. So bring us together as one under God. That's what our nation has been founded on. It wasn't a mistake that we came here. Now we're taking back what the enemy has stolen. You have to give it back to us. You have no more authority. Now who's going to stand? The invitation's been out here. He's calling for all of us. He needs laborers. The harvest field is ready. We don't need it to go to rot. But this nation is going to go to rot if we don't do something. So that's what we're doing now. We're seeking after what your plan is, Lord. Yes, Lord. We yield ourselves to you. Empty us, Lord. Empty us and fill us up with what you have, Lord. It's not what we think. It's not what we think. It's not what we say or what we do. It's you, Lord. It's you, Lord. It's all about you, Lord. This is your day. This is your day. And we receive you, Lord, for what it is that you have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. And all we want, Lord, is to follow you, Lord. So prepare us, Lord. Prepare us, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Let us become one with you, Lord. Give us your eyesight. Give us your ears, Lord. Let us walk and stay in your Holy Spirit, not to falter to the left or to the right, to get out of this flesh and get out of the things that hinders us. We need overcoming of these things in this world. We no longer need to live in this world. We need to live in your kingdom in this world. Let your kingdom come.
Amen.
Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
We bind the things on earth that need bounding as it is in heaven. We loosen the things on earth as they are in heaven loosened. We come in agreement what your word says, Lord. That's right. How can we be your bride unless you prepare us, Lord? So we're ready. We're open to be prepared. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Show us your way. Show us your way. That's right. Humble us, Lord. Humble us, Lord. To seek your face every day and every moment of the day. To know that we know that we know that we know that it's you that is in us. And you are greater than anything in this world. You have defeated it already. We need to know that in our hearts and in our minds. And we thank you, Lord. It's an honor, Lord, to serve you. We thank you for, oh, all the things that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you for the ability to come to you, Lord. That you are merciful. That you have come to us and said, I will heal your land.
Amen. Thank you.
But don't let this just be a day. But let this be a new life for all of us, Lord. A new life for all of us, Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to walk the same steps we walked yesterday.
Right.
But to walk in your footsteps, Lord. To follow you wherever you lead us, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah! Glory, hallelujah! Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for your Holy Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Oh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
You think he's fired up? Why aren't we? We all have a choice. You know, we can moan and groan and carry on and say, well, somebody else will get up. I don't have to. I'm not important. You know, in life as I was growing up, I was a little bugger. I was a big bugger too. But you know, I had God in my heart. But I didn't know what it was. I wandered around for a long time in life asking God, God, I just, if I knew, if I only knew which direction to go, I would go. But I didn't seek Him. I didn't seek Him. There was all darkness. There was all darkness. But we have a choice. And I've chosen to lay my life down for God.
Yes.
And since I've done that, God is so forgiving, so merciful. And what we've heard here today, this is what it's all about. It's about coming together under God's umbrella. You know, for years, us guys think, oh, we're bulletproof, we can do anything. If anybody doesn't like it, sorry about their bad luck. But all these years I was guided and didn't know it. And God was so faithful, so merciful, that He just watched me chase my tail. And I did an awesome, I even caught it a couple times. Ouch. But here I stand now. Amazed, honored,
yes, yes.
Because God is in my life now.
Amen.
Now we have a choice when we leave here today. I mean, this was good today. I am pumped. are we going to do with what we heard today? Are we going to forget it when we walk out the door? Or once we get out, are we going to go, what's for supper, honey? I'm hungry. So do you. She just barks. So what are we going to do when we leave here today? You know, like I said, I always wanted to make a difference. And through God, I can make a difference. Through God, that is the only way. I've tried every other way, or at least most of them. And Glenn thought he was in control. And he did a fine job till things went wrong, which was usually every other choice. So what are we going to choose? Light or dark? It's a simple choice. Who are we going to choose? Lord, right now I give you the praise and the glory. For every breath that I take, every thought that is of you, every blink of an eye, just moving my fingers and be able to wiggle my hair on the top of my head, that's a talent. But I don't want to take the small things for granted anymore. We all have. We wake up and we expect the sun to rise. We expect it to get warm. We expect. And God just hopes that we'll humble ourselves, seek His face, and pray. That's all He wants. He wants a relationship. And He wants it with each and every one of us. He knows us by our name. He knows the number of our hairs. And He has more thoughts on us than the granules of sand in the world. Now just pick up a handful of sand in your mind. Go ahead and count them. I dare you. I'm not going to double dog dare you because then I'd have to do it. But that's a lot of thoughts. Compare your hand. This is what God thinks of us. Hold your other hand out. And that's what you think of God. And how often. Ouch. This is a lot lighter. It's called doom. Empty. Full of yourself. Full of your stinking thinking. Full of what you were brought up in. And you know what's so neat? We don't have to stay there. We've been lied to. You can't do that. You don't have any money. You can't do that. You can't write. You can't do that. It's the devil. We can do anything as long as God's in it. Anything. We can move mountains. We have the power to heal. We have the power. So it's time, people. It's time for us to come forward. And I know Pastor Harvey and Sue are just smiling with people getting up here. And you know, I do too. Because when I see people that come into the coffee bar, you know, and they come in here every day and they see me, well, you know, that's not good. You didn't all have to laugh at once. But it's God. What I'm hoping is they see God in me, coming through me. That is my goal. That when you look at me, you don't see Glenn. That you see God coming through me. And I know that's what we all want. Again, it's our choice. What are we going to do, Tom? What are we going to do, Roxanne? Nate, Leida? Scott, sitting over there with his head down. Pick it up there, brother. We all have a choice. We all have a choice. What are we going to do with it, and what are we going to do about it? Lord, I just give you the praise and the glory for today. Because this, as Tom says, this was a divine appointment. This is no accident that we all come here today. We're not here to see who can out-talk each other, because Harvey's got it. It's about what we say. It's about who we pray to. Tom, you're right in there, so I wouldn't smile a lot. You know, we have a family here. We have a family. It's God's family. But when we all come together, do you see the power? Do you see God being glorified? Now, it's a little different. I don't even say that anymore because it's different every time I come in here. I just thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for never leaving us or forsaking us. Thank you for showing us new mercies every day. And Lord, I lift you up high. Thank you for saving somebody like me. That you would consider me worthy enough. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're doing. Thank you for what you're going to do here. Because I see the walls busting out. And I see the streets lighting up from the glow from this place. And from what I'm hearing on Friday nights, that's what's happening here. It's like a neon light that's going out. But it's by the faith that we have in Jesus that He died for our sins that make it all possible. It's not us. It's us seeking Him and Him seeking us. And the Lord never turns down an invitation. So Lord, I'm inviting you right now into each and every person that's sitting here. Lord, just turn them everywhere but loose. Make them squirm. Because you do that so good to me, Lord. You just, you know, I just get so antsy and I get so full of myself. The next thing I do, I'm repenting. I'm asking for forgiveness. And that's what we need to do, people. We need to stop playing. We need to get serious. Because God's serious. He is so amazing. He never turns down an invitation. So I invite you, Lord, right now, right here, to turn us every way but loose, to heal our wounds, to show us the right way, the path. And Lord, I just ask that when we leave here today, that nobody is the same. That each and every one got a golden nugget here today. And they can take that home and just cherish that golden nugget. And then when they own it, they can just take it and share it with other people. And then they'll be able to take it to other people. And they'll take it to other people. And my God, we'll be infecting Grand Rapids. And then we'll be affecting the world. Like domino effect. Have your way here, Lord. Whatever you want. And move us however you want. I pray this in your holy name, Lord. Amen.
Yeah. So, I wanted to give this illustration before we prayed for people. That's what the Lord was speaking to me back there. Nothing leaves heaven without it leaving earth first. So here's your hand. How can you receive if you're holding things? So I just want to share that. So before we pray, I thought that was important that we realize to open our hands.
Again. Just make it a little simpler so I get it this time.
Okay.
Say it again. Just say it again and maybe I'll get it.
All right. Nothing leaves earth or heaven.
Nothing leaves heaven.
Unless it first leaves earth. Because we have to open our hand and release what we have. You know, you can't receive anything if your hand's closed.
That's true.
So we need to open our hand. And, you know, that's a spiritual principle, too. The Lord's Prayer.
Truth springs up from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. We open up in honesty to God, then He will look upon us. I want to just, can I mention your dream just a little bit, Nate?
Hey, Nate.
Can I mention your dream just a little bit? Nate shared a dream with me, which really excited me.
Does anybody feel like doing this around this area?
Wow, Tom?
Go ahead.
I'm not going to tell you his whole dream, but I want to tell you one little thing about his dream. He foresaw in the future a room, a little tiny room, I draw it like this, a little room full of people seeking God. But then there was a great big room over here, and only one person could go in there. This was one who was prepared and ready to really meet with God in a powerful way. These people over in this room weren't ready, but only one could go in there at a time. It reminded me of Moses, the only one who went up that mountain, the only one who was so hungry for God that he didn't care if it killed him. He didn't care if he burnt alive. He was going as close as he could get to God. He stayed up there 40 days and 40 nights without food. You know, he forgot to take his journal. We take our journal everywhere we go because we're always ready to hear from God. God spoke. I got to write that down, you know. Well, Moses didn't take his journal, so God had to write with his own finger and engrave it into the rock. But now we're ready. We take our journal everywhere we go. But Moses was the only one. The other people, they stayed down, and they said, we can't go any closer. It might kill us. It might kill us. When they set up the tabernacle, Moses lived in the tabernacle. The people lived way far away in their tents. And when Moses came out and he was glowing with God, the people stood in the door of their tent. And they looked over and said, yep, God has come upon Moses. Let's worship now. And then they went back in their tent. But they didn't come any closer. And that makes me think of your room. One person who was so hungry for God that said, I don't care if it kills me. I throw down everything I own. I don't want my life. I don't want my way. All I want is God. I just want God. But you see, that room is there. It's not only one. It's one at a time. It's individual. It's personal. If you want to go there, you can go there. If you want to go there, you can go there. Because Jesus paid the way. Jesus, His flesh is the veil. He gave His flesh, His life. He gave His blood so that you could come into that room alone with God. You can come into that room. But do you want to? Maybe you want to and you can't get in because you're not ready. You're not prepared yet. Then start getting prepared. Start coming toward Him. At least get in the room where more people are and start saying, get me ready. Prepare me so that when that guy comes out, I get to go in. My turn. My turn. At least want it. And if you don't want it, start wanting it. Put your hand on your own stomach and say, God, make me want it. Stir me up. Make me hungry because I am dead. I'm just laying over here in worldliness, dead. When the Lord comes back, do you want to be the lukewarm church that He spits out of His mouth? We want to be on fire.
That's right.
We want to be full of Him. You don't have a right to your own life. He created you with a purpose. He created you for Himself. You are a piece of God. One reflection of Him. Plug back in. Plug back into the big diamond God. Find out who you are. Get lit up with His life in you again. We want to pray for you. You know, I'm so excited because you got to hear some of our prayer warriors here this morning. You got to hear what God's been training them in listening to the Holy Spirit and letting Him pray His heart. Wouldn't you like them to pray whatever the Holy Spirit has to say for you this morning? Prayer team, come on up here. Everybody on our prayer team that feels led of the Lord and ready right now, come line up here. And I want you to ask the Lord, which one do you want me to go to have them pray over me? I was on a prayer team in Flint, and we would line up. The people would line up, and then they would tell us, go to the next person and pray for them. One day God said, I don't want you to do that today. I want you to look out among the people, and you go to the one I send you to. Well, I want you to look among the prayer team and go to the one he sends you to. Who does he want to send you to for prayer this morning? Come and let the Holy Spirit speak over you this morning. See what he would say to you. You know, we have such a big prayer team. Once they stand up here, there's not many of you left because this whole church is ministry team. We're not going to have training on Saturday right now for at least 4 weeks because we had a vision and God just put a skewer straight through the four Saturdays, took them out and started roasting them over a fire, and he said, Saturday night, 7 o'clock, we're having worship, and then we'll pray. And I'm going to light Saturday night on fire. So for the next four Saturdays, starting last night, there's three more at least, no daytime Saturday. It'll be Saturday night at 7 if you want to worship, and we don't know how late it goes. We might still be here Sunday morning, who knows? But these have been trained. They have been trained. God has put us some of the weirdest training you ever saw in showing us how to get out of His way and hear the Holy Spirit. If you are a parent and you have children that are going to need to be let out, I'd like you to have first opportunity because we are going to let the kids out real soon. And then come get prayer too. So if you have children in the back room and you'd like prayer, please be first and come on up and ask God, who do you want to speak over me? Who will you speak to me this morning? And come and choose the minister God leads you to. Don't miss your opportunity.
Stand up.
You don't have to come. If you don't want to hear from God, then He's not going to talk to you, but you can stand up, at least give your legs a break, you know. You can stand up and walk out the door if you want. Well, don't start praying yet, because somebody might want to come to you. So let's wait until at least half of you have someone, and then we'll partner up. Anyone else want to come right now? Okay, hold just a minute. We're going to wait until we get a few more up here. Now in a minute, we're going to start partnering. So when we do that, you might have to wait until the one you want is free again. Okay. If you want someone who's already taken, just get in line and wait. Okay, we're gonna need the partners to begin to partner with somebody. If you don't have someone in front of you, then join someone and partner with them. Sharon, are you partnering her? Okay. I need another woman. Tana, are you partnering somebody? Okay. You gonna partner there? You got a partner? You getting prayer? Tom, you want to partner with him? Are you here for them? Or for them, that couple? Okay, go ahead. And Don, you just have to wait.